is at Angeles. We're now on season 4, episode 46 of this podcast. And this time we'll be discussing an interesting topic about digital ledgers and the blockchain ecosystem. For today's podcast episode, we have invited Dr. Donald Patrick Lim, Chief Operating Officer of Dido CME and the Chief Innovation Officer of the Udena Corporation, as well as the founding president of the Blockchain Council of the Philippines, as she shares with us his valuable insights on blockchain technology, as well as its significant relevance to our digital economy. So let's get started. Thank you for listening to FinCircle and welcome to our podcast. According to the Blockchain Council of the Philippines, the blockchain and Web3 projects have an opportunity to flourish in the country. Axie Infinity, a play-to-earn P2E blockchain game, shot to fame in the Philippines in 2021. Clear Laws boost confidence in blockchain technology's non-digital applications. Scams and the digital gap are challenges. The technology will advance. The Philippines has joined the rest of Asia in crypto adoption, and cryptocurrencies have entirely changed how we think about money and how traditional financial systems operate. The Philippines has established itself as a prospective player in the crypto industry, and the Blockchain Council has been instrumental in promoting the uptake and comprehension of these virtual currencies. The Blockchain Council of the Philippines believes that as the globe moves towards a decentralized future, crypto adoption in the Philippines will explode, ushering in a new era of financial inclusion and economic empowerment for its citizens. The realm of crypto is no exception to the Philippines, since the tradition of leading the way in embracing cutting-edge technologies, with more people, organizations, and institutions becoming aware of the potential advantages of digital assets over the past few years. The nation has been a steady growth in crypto awareness and use. The Blockchain Council of the Philippines also thinks that the country is well positioned to take advantage of this technical advancement for its socio-economic development. As of 2021, the Filipino public discovered the play-to-earn P2E blockchain game Axie Infinity. And according to estimates, developing countries around account for the 40% of the game's player base. And the council claims that this allowed several Web3 concepts, such as crypto wallets, to enter the country. Since then, international companies have shown great enthusiasm for establishing themselves in the country. The council explained that these organizations are definitely interested in establishing a foothold in the Philippines. Although the crypto revolution has centered on cryptos, blockchain technology has enormous promise across various industries. The Philippines Blockchain Council, which aims to inform various sectors about the wide range of uses for blockchain technology, acknowledges this. Blockchain can improve transparency, traceability, and efficiency across various sectors, including healthcare, real estate, and voting systems. And the council seeks to demystify blockchain technology and encourage its widespread adoption through its workshop, seminars, and industrial partnerships. The council lays the groundwork for more technologically advanced and sustainable Philippine economy by promoting cooperation between the public and private sectors. The council claims also that the demographic favors such businesses, as does the government's attitude toward cryptos and blockchain technology, making the country an ideal environment for their growth. Despite the recent influx of Filipino merchants into the industry, the council is also skeptical that Filipinos will ever be able to make a living off Bitcoin or other cryptos. On the other hand, the council emphasized that this could occur in 4 or 5 years, after which the entire infrastructure will have matured. This means crypto will be used for payments, purchasing non-fungible tokens, entering the metaverse, for instance, and other related activities. Even though the future of crypto adoption is promising, the Philippines has its share of problems and challenges. And one big worry is the number of scams and frauds that target people that is new to crypto. To fix this, the Philippine Blockchain Council has been running different public awareness programs to teach people about the possible risks and how to stay safe in the crypto environment. Another barrier to universal internet and digital device access is the need for more technological advances in the area. It is imperative to address this digital gap to ensure everyone can take advantage of the financial opportunities that crypto offers. The Philippines is prepared to definitely take advantage of the opportunities presented by cryptos as they continue to gain popularity worldwide. And the Philippines Blockchain Council plays a critical role in advancing crypto acceptance and advocating for the ethical application of the blockchain technology. A more equitable and prosperous future for all Filipinos is possible with a correct legal framework, public awareness programs, and also the measure to bridge the digital gap will definitely lead to a snowball effect of this what we call crypto adoption. So one thing for certain is that the crypto industry, as well as the blockchain technology, as we have mentioned, is very promising, and the opportunity is abundantly plenty, particularly for the Asia-Pacific region, as well as in the Philippines. In relation to this, the Blockchain Council of the Philippines has organized an annual Blockchain Week which will be happening in the Philippines towards this month of September 2023. So let's support this group, and I think there's more benefits, and the opportunity is really abundant at this point in time. In today's podcast episode, we'll be talking to Dr. Donald Patrick Lim, Chief Operating Officer of Tito CME and the Chief Innovation Officer of the Udena Corporation, as well as the founding president of the Blockchain Council of the Philippines, as he shares with us his remarkable perspective on blockchain technology, as well as its significant relevance to our virtual economy. It's an honor and privilege to have you, Dr. Lim, and welcome to FinCircle.
Thank you, Egay, for having me.
Let's probably start by defining on what is digital ledgers, or most popularly known as blockchain technology, and its value proposition to our digital economy.
Well, blockchain is the next big thing, I would say, because as you can see, we're moving in principle from a very centralized system to a decentralized setup. What do I mean by that? Before, you will see, we call it Web 1 to Web 2 to Web 3. We are now in the age of Web 2. No, Web 1 is the first age of the internet, where it's a read only web, right? So you go online and you read through a website, and that's it. We went through Web 2, where it is ruled by the big giants of social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google, YouTube, among others. And it's read and write, which means you can read something, but at the same time, you can post pictures, songs, videos, whatever you want. No? Now, of course, these are ruled by the giants. And therefore, they control also all your data, all your demographics. And also, in a way, they also sell your data so that they can get advertising in return. And because of that, because of that mindset, that emerged the principle of Web3, in a way led by Bitcoin, by Satoshi Nakamoto, where they said that banks, I don't trust banks anymore. During the 2008, 2009, 2010, the tail end of the first decade of the year 2000, where the financial crash, they said, let's not trust all of these central groups anymore, but let's make it very decentralized, that we have to trust on human beings. And therefore, that gave way to the principle of blockchain. So in a way, instead of a central authority authorizing the transaction, it's peer-to-peer, number one. And at the same time, all the transactions are recorded in a, in a decentralized way, which means all the nodes imagine all the computers in the world recording that transaction instead of one. And later on, you will see how this will progress. Instead of a central server where you have to trust that central server, now you have to trust all the computers and all the transactions. And in a way, in essence, it's more trustworthy, because everyone recorded it, right? And that will happen to all the documents, identity systems, even voting, land titles, and everything will eventually move towards the blockchain.
I understand, Donald, that you are the founding president of the Blockchain Council of the Philippines. In view of this, what are your main motivations from starting this group?
What we felt was that, I'm a bit older already. I think I started from Web 1 and Web 2. And you saw that for any technology to move forward, technology is always feared because it will change the way you do things, especially blockchain, especially from moving to something very 180 degrees from centralized to decentralized. And because currently what I saw was that the blockchain or the Web3 movement is a very much wild, wild west. Around the world, there are so many scams also. Like they would say, I have a coin offering or a token offering, invest in me and I will give you something. So many scams. So what we felt was that I think we have to gather together as a group and as an industry. And in order for us to move forward together in a more organized way, we created what is called the Blockchain Council. Do note that when I set this up, it was not without criticisms. In fact, almost everyone in Web3 said, why are you centralizing again something that is decentralized? And I said, if you centralize it in one way or form, you actually move forward faster because now you're attacking it from an overall ecosystem. And all the stakeholders concerned, they also, as human beings, while we want decentralized because we don't want an authority, we also follow a certain fashion and rhythm towards something in a certain organization. And that is the mere motivation. So when I gathered around 14 other people, so there are 15 founding board of directors coming from the tech side, from the fintech side, coming from the marketing side, the developers and builders. So we gathered and I said, let's form this council. And the intent is, again, very democratized. We are just the organizing board. We want the next board of directors to be open, but at the same time, we want to push this forward. So later on, if any regulator, anyone who has a questions about a certain thing, they can ask us. We're not there to judge, but we will tell them in a very organized fashion how things are moving and how one should be progressing.
What have you observed, Donald, on the adoption ratio of blockchain technology in the Philippines as compared to other countries in the Asia-Pacific region?
Our adoption is surprisingly high. You know, I always say we were the text capital of the world when texting was very new in the year 2000. We were the social media capital of the world when social media was here, no? Facebook, and again, it just exploded. And I believe that we can be the blockchain capital of Asia at the very least. And why? If you look at, and again, that's not without merit. If you look at Axie Infinity, we were Axie Infinity country in 2010 during the pandemic. If the motivation is there, we realize every Filipino will find a way around the technology, right, to earn something. So, or to be entertained, or again, we go under the motivation. So we're the top crypto wallet downloaders. We are one of the biggest adopters and users of Web3 products and services. And again, we're a gaming country. We very young population. We're like out of 110 million, we have our median age, imagine, is 25 years old. So we know that once this explodes, we will be the first to catch it and to capitalize on it.
From your perspective, Donald, how does the national government support the blockchain initiatives in the country?
If you look at the government, I think I'm very proud that our government is very open-minded in terms of looking at the blockchain. In fact, if you look at the council, most of the companies there are very actively working with government on a lot of government initiatives. Again, whether it is just documentation, land titles, identities, election, in the upcoming elections. We've seen already, for example, how our FinTech Alliance, most of our members are part of the FinTech Alliance, have been working with the Central Bank and Department of Finance on several line projects. So we're seeing that we're very happy. No? In fact, if you look at our biggest event, the Philippine Blockchain Week, we have a very heavy government participation from the DTI to the DICT, to the Central Bank, to the Securities and Exchange Commission, to the IPO office. Everyone is there. So I think they're all very open-minded. They want to see what's happening. They want to support and make blockchain a very good proposition for our country.
What are the present hurdles of the blockchain industry as a whole? And how do you think we can mitigate those underlying challenges?
Right now, I think the challenge is really more on the reputation of blockchain and Web3 in itself. You know, when you talk to any person now who's not there, who's not in Web3 or not in the business of blockchain, any person will say, oh, that's a scam. Automatic. That's automatic. So it doesn't help that globally you have so many of these stories. At the same time, locally, you also hear a lot of crypto stories. At the same time, the situation today, like we're speaking today, it's 2023. It's still crypto winter. It's still Web3 winter. Which means that Bitcoin is down, everything, a lot of things are happening in this space, but overall the sentiment is fairly negative. But negative only because they're only absorbing a certain piece of information, not the ecosystem, not the totality of the power and opportunities of Web3. Now, when everyone jumps in there and realizes, oh, it's beyond crypto trading. It's beyond a company offering it as an ICO or a token, but I can offer it too if I'm a businessman. Right, and I want to scale and I do not have to do an IPO because it's more tedious. Maybe there are more opportunities than I can imagine. So it's a matter of really educating the public into year 2000 when we're educating, oh guys, it's going to be the age of the internet. And no one really cared, right? And now everyone's there. So I think we're undergoing that same transition also to Web3. A lot of resistance And that's fine because that is the birth process of anything that's going to become big.
During one of the media interviews, Donald, you've highlighted that Philippines can be a potential global blockchain capital. What are the primary influences of this particular assumption?
Well, number one, it's number in terms of the. By the way, if you can Google it, you can check. We're going to be the top 20 economies in the world sometime in the future by sheer population. Currently, we're 110 million population. We're growing very fast. At the same time, it's a very young population. So imagine that the next generation will all be Web3 at the same time, right? They're going to grow into a world of Web3 at the same time. You're seeing that blockchain is going to be now studied in schools. You're seeing already that government is, we have the most open government. And again, like what I mentioned earlier, with the right motivation, I can really imagine that even the lowest rung of the ladder, we don't have a big middle class, so our D segment is going to be, which is the poorer segment, will also jump into play to earn games, blockchain based games, Web3 games. So it's not a speculation. All numbers point us towards that reality.
I understand, Donald, that you're the lead convener of the forthcoming Blockchain Week in September 2023 that will be held in the Philippines. Perhaps you can tell us more about it.
Yeah, thank you. So every year, so since last year, so this year is the second year of the Philippine Blockchain Week. Part of our initiative is to gather all the stakeholders in one area and talk about how we will work together to progress the principles and the ideals of blockchain technology. And that is why when we do a blockchain week, it's not only all Filipino. In fact, in our Philippine Blockchain Week we have more than 500 attendees coming from around the world, coming from representing 26 countries. And so imagine Russia, imagine European countries flying in. I said, why did you come here? And they said, no, we want to see because you're very popular. Right, maybe not yet big business per se, not like you will be earning so much money, a lot of trades happening, not yet at the global level, but something's amiss. They can see the smoke from the fire already that's about to burn. And when we did the Philippine Blockchain Week, especially for this year, we are very much in touch with our Korean partners. There's a Korean blockchain group that's going to come in a very strong way. We partnered with the Japanese. So we're tapping all our ASEAN neighbors and the other countries in Asia are all supporting. So you're going to see not only a very local approach, but it's really a global approach. And it's going to be a Philippine Blockchain Week this time, like no other. We will have a Michael Cinco show, which is on the metaverse. We're going to end with a K-pop concert. So again, it's very global in terms of perspective and everything running on Web3 and on the blockchain.
It's quite exciting, Donald, and we're all looking forward to it. How do you foresee the future of blockchain and what should be our realistic expectation on this regard?
Like any technology and innovation, of course, it will undergo a lot of, what I said, resistance and then slow growth. So we expect the growth to be a bit subtle. We don't have to, I don't even have to open my crystal ball. You look at the innovation that happened in Web 1 and Web 2. Usually it would take 3, 4, and 5 years. Amazon took them 10 years to become positive, right? And they've been around before, around year 2000. Same also with Google, with YouTube, all of them. So everyone had a runway of 7, 8 to 10 years before it really blows up. But if you apply the principle of Moore's law, if you apply the principles of adoption, that time it was digital in itself, of course, needs a lot of education. Right now, I would say that we are digitally more mature. The internet is there. The internet is already like a utility. It's like electricity. We cannot live without internet. So it's already innate in us to look for something that is more advanced, something that is better. And Web3 is the solution. So from a normal runway of 7 to 10 years, I think that would be halved also. I think in year 3 or year 4, maybe by 2025, 2026, we would see a massive explosion already because a lot of people are planting the seeds today. So it's just a matter of time before we will have a crypto exchange and token currency stock market, right? Totally just running on all of these Web3. We're going to see hotels and institutions accepting Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. You see already that our wallets like GCash, Maya are going to, you know, it's going to be very normal for them. So all of these to accept current cryptocurrency among others. So again, it's just a matter of time. But you talk, you know, you can pin down the date today in plus 3 years. It's going to be a very, very different world. It's going to be a very Web3 mature world already.
Given your wealth of experience in this field, Donald, any word of advice that you can give with regards to this subject matter?
Well, my advice is the same also that I give to everyone, right? And this is something I give to myself also. I've always believed that for us, especially professionals or us business people, we cannot live oblivious of the realities of what is happening. We all know that this technology is going to come in, and let's learn it. As a professional and as a businessman, I said, you know, okay, I saw Web3 will be the future. Done. And therefore, if we were talking about this a year ago, I would know I'm zero on blockchain, zero, right? But when I started doing the Philippine Blockchain Week, I saw the opportunities there. That was November last year. My entire Christmas, I did nothing but just study and studied and studied. From the technology to the opportunity part to blockchain in government, blockchain in business, applying AI on blockchain, many others. And when I said study, I really went into online classes. I got certifications among many others because I know that I have to really step up and understand how we can make this work. So you cannot, you know, even before you learn how to speak, right, you have to understand the alphabets. So I really had to understand the basic. I took really time to learn everything. And now, and I think that's what I also encourage everyone else. If you think blockchain is very tech, it is, but it's not like you cannot understand it. I'm not tech. I'm zero tech. But for me, what is more important, I always tell people, do you know how, if the car breaks down in a highway, do you know how to fix it? Maybe not. But you know how to drive a car from point A to point B. Sometimes you just have to understand how a technology works, how it can help you accomplish a particular tasks. You don't have to get, you know, don't have to be a mechanic or an engineer to fix things. Later on, you can have get someone to help fix it for you or do it for you. But it's going to be very shameful if you do not utilize the technology to help you with your day-to-day tasks.
Very well said. Are there any initiatives that you're working with that you would like to share with our podcast listening audience? And what are the easiest way of reaching out or contacting you?
Well, I'm on LinkedIn and I'm on Facebook and almost all social media networks. I'm a bit busy, so I'm not too responsive. I think I have to change that in all reality. But you know, for me, I really hope everyone, especially all the Filipinos out there, you know, for me, it's really about raising the Philippine flag. I think we have all the opportunities to position our country finally, right, on a global stage. I think we can, if we're a BPO country, I think we can be blockchain BPO country. We can service a lot of companies who wants to jump into blockchain technologies. I feel that all of us, you should start reading up. Maybe if you have some money, maybe just 1-3% of your money, put it in crypto. Right, get the feel of it. Not. I mean, you lose it, right? But of some money that you can lose, just get to feel, because later on, that's going to be how we're going to spend money, save money, how we're going to do any transactional exchange. So again, it's very important for you to really dive right in. You don't have to say, no, I don't understand, right? But what's more important is, like, you don't learn how to swim by reading a book. You learn how to swim by jumping into the pool. So same also here with Web3. It is inevitable. We jump right in and again, we try to swim with the waves.
Thanks so much, Dr. Lim, for sharing us your valuable insights on the significant importance of blockchain to our digital economy. We wish you great success in the future.
Thank you very much, Agay, for having me.
episode is made possible by B2CME, Udena Corporation, and the Blockchain Council of the Philippines. We would like to express our sincere appreciation to Dr. Donald Patrick Lim on sharing us his remarkable perspective on blockchain technology and its critical importance to our digital economy. We would like to hear from you. Share us your thoughts regarding our topics and send us a message on the Anchor Voice message box. Your message could end up on our future podcast episode. Make sure you never miss any episodes of FinCircle by clicking the subscribe button or follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Radio Public, Amazon Music, Pocket Cast, Audible, Overcast, Stitcher, TuneIn, Anchor.fm, and other affiliated podcast platforms. You can also reach us on our website at fincircle.wordpress.com and our Facebook page at FinCircle Podcast. This concludes our podcast episode today. Thank you for listening on FinCircle. This is Ed Angeles. Let's catch up again soon.